Fred, can you tell me a little bit about your background and why you were interested in a career in plant pathology?
Well, there's a long answer to that. I actually started my graduate career as a geneticist, but I didn't get along with the professor and didn't have much money, so I quit and worked in the strawberry industry for 3 years. So when I went back, I had an interest in microbiology also. And so I was more or less randomly assigned a project on white rot. There was money in it, and I was looking for some money, and so as a fairly naive grad student, it looked like a good opportunity, and it turned out to be one. And then a little bit lucky too, I guess, is I left for another job for 6 years in Kansas, where that was not a topic of interest. When I came back into Oregon, it happened to be a disease that was important in the area I worked in. So I kind of resumed work on white rot as a result, and stayed with it the rest of the time I was in Oregon. It was never my primary research. It was always kind of secondary because the money was always a little bit lower, and other people were throwing money at bigger problems on other crops. But I did stay with it and worked for another 25 years.
Yeah, you have done a lot of consultation on onions, and you said in your presentation white rot is a constant topic. Can you give me a bit of a brief overview of what you've learned about white rot and what future opportunities you think for research there is in this space?
Well, it's a good question. I can't say that anybody, including me, has made major breakthroughs on the real biology of white rot. It's a fairly simple disease. It's simpler than a lot of the ones we work with, but it's very powerful. And we don't have the tools we have for most diseases to work with. So we're stuck, either trying to get rid of the fungus or to protect the plant with fungicides. And fungicides just have their limitations. It's very powerful in its ability to grow and spread on root systems. And usually we can't protect the plant quite well enough to avoid it penetrating that protection layer. And so, they work okay depending on the region and how big of a population of the fungus you're starting with. But it's never been fully satisfactory. And a lot of the fungicides that we use have to last a long time. With a garlic crop or a seed onion crop, it has to last 9 or 10 or 11 months in the field. And a lot of fungicides just don't last that long. And so that's always been frustrating. And things like fumigants, which will get rid of a lot of the fungus, are just too expensive. And you can tell when I was talking about it that some of these stimulants worked. But again, they were kind of expensive, so we weren't able to use them as a commercial tool. So the challenge is coming up with stimulants at the moment. The challenge is to come up with stimulants that would be cheap enough or that we can apply periodically at very low levels, which would also cheapen them, and get the kind of end result we're looking for, driving these populations down to where we can live with it.
From what you've seen of onion farms and techniques while you've been here in Australia, what do you like the look of? And is there something you think Australian onion farmers are doing well or could improve on?
Oh, I think I saw beautiful onion crops. Over the years, I've tended to work more with garlic, which is a lot easier to grow. So I have great respect for somebody that can grow, get good emergence, get a good uniform, good-looking onion crop, and that's what I saw in the fields around here. So I think they're doing a very good job of growing onions. And there's probably a difference in the number of the amount of the fungus in the soil and how much disease it can cause between Tasmania and where I work in the U.S. And I'm guessing that you get a little less disease from a certain population of fungus than we do. And that might be to your advantage too. It might give you a little more utility out of fungicides. And I kind of heard that you can apply fungicides over the top of the crop after they've emerged and get a little more control than we seem to get back in the western U.S. But you're stuck pretty much with the rest of the world and coming up with anything more creative than that.
Finishing up, if you could give these guys over in Australia working on white rot one tip or a couple of tips, what would it be?
Well, I've suggested that they talk to the new white rot team in the States, and they talk to the California people that are funding that work, and see if they might somehow get in a partnership on some of that research and funding support. I think the door is open to that. It's a long way, obviously, and they'd have to spend some time appearing in person to report to to the group, but they already do that with people outside of California and outside of the U.S. So I think they're very upbeat about those possibilities.